back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number as Monday. That means Monday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, Marjorie Taylor Greene was on 60 Minutes. Who thought that one up? Who said, hey, this woman should be on 60 Minutes? We should follow her.
Well, I think personally that the news media has created this person. News media creates monsters. The news media likes to deal with personalities, okay?
Yes.
And that doesn't mean good personalities. More often means outrageous personalities. So I would accuse the news media of having created the Donald decades ago. They began to bite on to this person who called himself the Donald and spoke in outrageous ways, and that got him news. And it's the same as in politics now. The more hyperbole you deal with, hyperbole meaning exaggeration and outrageousness, the more outrageous you are, the more coverage you get. The more coverage you get, the more coverage you get. And she's an example of that. You know, people are paying attention to her. Why? Are her ideas so good? No, her ideas are so outrageous. And she always speaks with hyperbole. Perfect. Let's have her on.
Well, she's all over the newspapers today because of what she had to say on yesterday, which was clearly outrageous, right? I mean,
if you're the news media, your little voice in the back of your head says, perfect.
You know, Tom from L.A. called. He wanted to talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah.
Marjorie Taylor Greene has been around for a while. I've never talked about her over the airways because I just didn't think she, you know, was worthy of us having the conversation. But here we are. We're getting ready to talk a little bit about Marjorie Taylor Greene. As part of her interview with CBS News, Leslie Stahl, that's a person that's been around a long time.
Yeah.
Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene was asked about some of her past actions, like chasing school shooting survivor David Hogue from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Greene didn't appreciate the questions about it, saying that it doesn't show the full breadth of her life. One of the things Greene yelled at Hogue was that if he was protected at the school by security guards, there wouldn't be mass shootings. The Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School had a security guard. However, it didn't help. But here's where they really got into this. Stahl also asked Greene about her claims that Democrats were a party of pedophiles.
Yeah.
You
remember that there's a pizza store with that hit in the basement. You know, these liberals are carrying out pedophilia. That whole story, wasn't it great when they went to the pizza place? The guy went with an AR rifle to kind of follow through on the whole QAnon thing. He was going to take it on. Found out there was not even a basement in the pizza place where the basement was supposed to be the place where all this was ongoing. So the lie was apparent right at the beginning of the story.
So Sandy, a congresswoman says that Democrats are all pedophiles. Why would you want to hear anything else from her? Right? I mean,
yeah.
I would probably end the conversation with her right there.
Right.
But instead, they continued the conversation. She also tried to defend it. They're not pedophiles, is what Leslie Stahl said. Why would you say that? Asked Stahl. Greene defended it. Democrats support, she struggled. Even Joe Biden, the president himself, supports children being sexualized and having transgender surgeries. Sexualizing children is what pedophiles do to children. Wow, Leslie Stahl said. Clearly taken aback. Children aren't allowed to have transgender surgeries, and it's something that Republicans continue to be fact-checked on. Transgender children and those with gender identity issues are about who they are, not about being sexually molested. So it's unclear how Green jumps from transgender people to pedophiles. Green provided no additional evidence of sexualizing children other than her problem with gender identity.
Well, the QAnon conspiracy theory had nothing to do with transgenderism, and she has been talking about this since the QAnon theory began, and the QAnon theory had to do with actual pedophilia, the notion that there was a sex trafficking ring, okay? That's what the QAnon theory, conspiracy theory was, and this pizza parlor played a role in it, and so did Hillary Clinton, and and so she's just... All this QAnon stuff is very interesting to me because it's so crazy. But there are politicians who tap into it, and the fact is that the numbers of Americans who must sort of secretly harbor some fascination with and support of the QAnon theories is large enough so that politicians kind of do it because it taps into something kind of powerful, including Donald Trump and including Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Well, you know, Sandy, there are other who may feel the same way, but they've got better sense than to go on national television and say it, right?
Well, anyone who thinks that stuff doesn't have better sense. I think that would be an oxymoron.
Yeah. Okay.
You think this, but you should have better sense. No, the reason you think that is because you don't have better sense.
Well, let's bring Tom from LA on. Hey, Tom, how you doing, man? You got your wish, man. We're talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Hey, Earl. First off, I thought I was totally against the interview at first. And then I was like, you know what? Maybe it was good because it actually showed people what an idiot she is. And you know what? Maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe we need to bring these people out of the shadows and show who they are. But it seems to me that in the interview, Republicans want to change definition of words once again, whether it's woke, whether it's pedophile, which I think is really, really dangerous that you're changing the word pedophile to mean basically parenting, I guess, or what she called grooming. I really think that she was groomed from a very young age to listen to right-wing hate radio. She said in the interview that her father was someone who listened to right-wing radio all the time. And I'm thinking to myself, God, that should be a commercial. This is what happens when you listen to right-wing radio all the time. You get people like a Marjorie Taylor Greene. And she's probably the second generation of the Rush Limbaugh world, that has listened to right-wing hate radio. And I'm glad that we have an opposite point of view now with civic media to do it. But I really thought it was interesting. Here she is talking about pedophile, meaning someone who takes advantage of children, not in a sexual way, but she changed that that definition. And I guess what Republicans mean by parent or grooming is what they mean parenting, maybe. I haven't figured that one out again because they keep on changing definitions of words. And because they own the media, they change the definition of words. And then she talked about how she was worth $11 million. How the hell can somebody in Congress be worth $11 million right out of the gate? I'm so befuddled by the fact why anybody would vote for this person. That is so out of touch with the average person out there. But she's she's a hater, so therefore she gets lots of attention. But I really thought that was interesting. I thought that maybe she had been groomed by her father. Since he listened to only right-wing talk radio all the time with her. Just wanted to get your opinion.
Well, to be honest with you, man, it's hard to waste time with people like Marjorie Taylor Greene. You know, people condemn AOC, and they called them the squad. And you haven't heard much about AOC and the squad lately because AOC realizes that in order to work things through and become a player in government, you got to stop talking like that and being out front and those kind of things. And she's quieted down, and now she's learning how to work internally in the government. Marjorie Taylor Greene has not come that far yet. She still thinks that because the cameras are in her face, that she can say whatever it is she wants to say. I don't think she's a very relevant person, Sandy.
Well, you, I think you hit the nail on the head, though, that if you want to go to Washington to accomplish something from a public policy standpoint, you might begin to become more responsible about the how you behave and what you do, and you'd be focused on accomplishing something. I don't think Marjorie Taylor Greene has anything she wants to accomplish other than being the focus of attention, being a political figure. This is what's wrong with the Republican Party. It's the lesson, the model that Donald Trump has set up. You get elected to something because you will become the focus of a lot of attention. You can speak your onions. You'll express your opinions, many of which are unfettered by fact. They're emotionally based opinions, and that's what's happened to politics. You know, you talked about you talked about the right owning the media. I don't think they own the media. I think the right just the media has become totally undisciplined and likes trolls. They like the people who are trolling the rest of the world with outrageous conduct, and so they follow them, you know, assiduously and give them persona, public persona, like Marjorie Taylor Greene.
So, listen, we got to go to a break. Bill, I see you. I'll come to you after the break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. Let's go to the phone line and Bill from Oconomowoc. Bill, I guess you were just, you couldn't pull away from the television watching the lovely Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Kind of like when I watched the Three Stooges as a kid, I couldn't stop laughing. And I, you know, when you have an adult, I don't think she was funny as Curly, but I always like Curly the most. And but she's so interesting with this alternative facts and this wild mind. That, you know, I'm not even worried about her because she is going to destroy the party, not help the party, because of her off-the-wall stuff. But here's why I really called. I would like to ask Marjorie Taylor Greene, when Donald Trump first, back in 2016, offered himself up as a candidate for presidency, did you look into his past? And she'll say, well, it was fine. And I'll say, well, I read, now correct me if I'm wrong, Marjorie, 26 sexual assaults, 11 bankruptcies. Does that qualify a man for the presidency? And when James Comey knew his past, he had to watch that guy like a hawk. And when James Comey said, well, he did exactly what we thought he was going to do, James Comey had to step in. And then Trump will admit, and he admitted to Mark Levin, if he hadn't fired Comey, he would have been fired himself. He knew what he was doing was illegal by that statement. So why would the Republicans want to support a man for the candidacy of President of the United States with that tarnished record. Correct me if I'm wrong. In history, we never had a man with that much baggage. I'll hang up, or that's my
thought. Hang on. Sandy, you want to respond to Bill?
Well, yeah. I mean, but that would suggest that the process that elected Donald Trump was the result of rational processes, and I don't think it was. I think it's a social undercurrent. And I think that social undercurrent is this anti-establishment undercurrent, the fear of the future that's being created by the demographic trends in the country. And, I hate to say this out loud, but I fear that a great deal of what's going on is really the result of an establishment that's afraid of losing its control. And it's not the establishment that's in Wall Street. It's not the establishment you would normally think of with that word. The establishment I'm thinking of is essentially the white Judeo-Christian establishment, the people of this country who view America as being premised on a society that is essentially a white Judeo-Christian society. And that when America is losing that, when we've got Asians and South Asians, and we've got Africans and other people, and we have a growing number of essentially non-whites, there's this view that all of these non-white people will act collusively with one another against the interests of this white Judeo-Christian establishment, and will make America different. And they say they don't want America to be different. They want it to be as it was. But they aren't really thinking about it. They think what they're thinking about is they want the Ozzie and Harriet America to be recreated. But what they're really thinking about is they want an America created where white Judeo-Christian children have every advantage in the world. And, what makes people very angry now? It's affirmative action in universities. It's things that seem to work against the interest of this white Judeo-Christian framework in America. And so I just fear that the political undercurrent is that these people are responsive to irresponsible people like the Jordan and Bolton and the rest of it, is because they are, however crazy they are clearly champions of this viewpoint. And guns and carrying guns is a manifestation of protecting that and the capacity with the firearm in your pocket to maybe be able to protect the Judeo-Christian heritage that you think is endangered.
Bill, quickly.
Here's what I believe, though, on what you just said, Sandy. There's one word that encapsulates all of it, and that word is fear. And they're great. And why do they push fear? Because all cultures, even ours, and I'm a Christian, and I can use this word, evolve. It's the evolution of our culture evolving. And so they're terrified of electric cars, and they're terrified of fossil or renewable energy, and they're terrified of the public in general, because it's not like they remember.
Well, you...
But unfortunately, when we went from horses to cars, they thought that was a something horrible. When we went from using the outhouse to doing in the house, that was horrible. Many people couldn't comprehend that. Oh, it's the end of everything. Now we're relieving ourselves in the house. No, it's called progress. And that's what scares these people. We can't move forward. We got to drive gas guzzlers. We've got to carry guns because it's our right. And never mind the children's right.
Yeah.
Never mind the children's right. It's our right, even though children are being murdered at a ridiculous number. They have lost all touch with reality for one word, fear. Same thing that happens in other countries.
You're absolutely right. In fact, there have been books written about this, and there's an interesting book written about the history of religions that talk about the onset of modernity and the arising fear which drives people in the direction of conservatism and reactionism. And no, you're absolutely right. And that is exactly what is being appealed to, is fear. It's fear of change. And, you know, I was maybe simplifying it with this change from the Judeo-Christian, but it's changes of all kinds. And wait till artificial intelligence hits the forefront. It's beginning to.
Got to go to a break. Bill, thank you very much for the call. CJ, we'll get you on the other side. 844-967-2789. It's Monday. That means Monday's with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Somewhere that should be for all the world to see, a statue of a fool made of stone, an image of a man who let love slip through his hand and then let him stand there all alone.
At 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Monday. These Mondays with Sandy Williams. And you know, we're talking about what really is a dangerous time, Sandy. And watching Marjorie Taylor Greene on yesterday, she represents a lot of people. And we can talk about her as an individual.
Yeah, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene is really important, not because of who she is, but what she represents. I think that's really the way to think about her, because she is a, you know, you can watch her, everyone can have the same reaction as Tom or Bill, which is this person is nuts.
Right.
Okay. But this person has got elected in a
yes.
district of 700,000 people. So she's maybe, and those people must know her well enough. She's a congressperson. So there's a bunch of people in her district who want her to be their representative in Washington. And she and Matt Gaetz and Boebert and Jim Jordan and this whole group, who all talk quite a bit like one another.
Right.
Some of them are more eloquent than the others. But they clearly represent a movement in this country. And the movement, I don't think this is a movement where the people meet in a room or necessarily know one another, but they share a view. And I think Bill is right that the view is premised on fear. It might not even be a fear they recognize in themselves, but their reactions are fearful and angry and willing to, and what they're fearful about is the changes around them that they want to have, that they want to stop. So that we just talked off the air, you know, the FBI has become quite effective at rooting out and identifying domestic terrorists, okay? Domestic terrorists basically means right-wing terrorists. And then these domestic terrorists have been listed as the biggest terror threat by the FBI. Well, what's the right's reaction to this? We're gonna investigate the FBI, because why aren't you doing a better job of investigating and rooting out the criminal evil from, for instance, the people coming across the border from the South, or from the Mid-Eastern terror plots that there are against us? You know, that these are all preconceived notions. The dangers to America come from without, okay, as far as a whole bunch of people are concerned. And that without is basically immigrants, people who are moving
right.
into this country. It's the great substitution theory, you know. And it's, people don't talk about it, verbalize it that way, but a lot of people operate with that in mind, and it motivates how they think.
But so let's go to CJ. Hey, good morning, CJ. You say what?
Well, Earl and Sandy, thanks for taking my call. You know, we are safer and more prosperous with Republicans in office.
Living,
we have the fear of reality. We're living your party's reality. It took COVID to discover what kids were being groomed.
You have any new ammunition, CJ?
Without groomed. The parents' knowledge. Without the parents' knowledge.
Groomed to be what, Sam? Groomed to be what, CJ?
For whatever, political.
Are you saying that our education system is actually a nefarious plot to groom children? That's what you must be saying.
Sandy, you love to try to uncover stuff.
See,
don't do a very good job. You don't do a very good job describing what Republicans believe.
Marjorie Taylor Greene and the rest of them.
My question, CJ, is because words, you use the words that the pandemic uncovered the extent to which children were being groomed, and I'm asking.
You deny that.
No, I didn't deny that. Asked you the question.
I want to know your answer.
No, I want to know what you're saying. Are you saying that you believe that children are being groomed by the education system?
Yeah, we found out things. They aren't learning reading, writing, arithmetic. They're being taught social issues.
Oh, come on, man.
You lie. Oh, really?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Taylor Greene.
CJ, when is the last time you were in a school?
What have you got?
I'm asking you, when was the last time you were in a school to sit and find out what students are being taught?
Last year.
Okay, for how long?
Last year. Okay.
For how long?
So you want to try to critique me?
No, CJ. Okay. CJ, I spent 12 of the last 13 years in a public school system, and I didn't see any of what you were talking about being taught.
Is that school system supporting?
No, I'm talking about just to expose.
Is our school system doing a good job?
CJ, don't turn this around. You and others like you claim that the schools are grooming kids to be something else. That's a lie. And then when I point it out, now you want to talk about are they being successful in educating students. That's not the issue. We're talking, you and others and Marjorie Taylor Greene are saying these children are being groomed to be something other than who they are. And that's not true.
You shut my mic off.
Because
we are not being. Can I respond, Earl? Or are you going to talk over me?
Well, listen, I'm going to talk over you if you keep changing things.
How am I changing things?
Whether kids were being educated, CJ. That's not what we were talking about, and you know it. And soon as we point that out, you change the subject.
We're grooming our kids.
To be what?
Not to be able to read, write, and do arithmetic. How about that? The mere fact, the numbers speak for themselves, Earl. Read the numbers. Read the success numbers or lack of.
Hey, CJ, I watched Marjorie Taylor Greene yesterday.
And she did not say...
that the children weren't being educated to read and write. She was leading to the same thing that you said, that they're being educated to be something else. That's not true.
I went into the school and I found it out, and so did the rest of America.
You found out what, CJ?
We are failing our kids. The mere fact that you think AOC isn't saying controversial things anymore, you need to do a little more research, because the mere fact we're finding out the truth that our most precious institutions have been weaponized.
I thought you were calling in to tell me that you were wrong and I was right about what Michael Cohen was convicted of.
Stall.
Let's talk about Leslie Stahl.
I'm sorry. Let's stop. Let's stop.
Yeah, I agree. Anyway, we'll wait to find out who that is. You know, Sandy, it's you try to get a guy to have a conversation.
No, but I don't want to talk about someone and attribute to them who they are. But the nature of that conversation is reflective of a conversation of what we're talking about. Someone who is very, very unsettled by what the current circumstances are, and is angry. Anger is one of the reactions from fear, right, and from uncertainty. And so I just wish we could talk each other out of the cave and get rid of fear and start talking about things without that premise of anger and fear. And we can't seem to get there with some people. But that, to me, is the most worrisome aspect of the current political climate in the United States. And I just think that mankind has always worries about change. Change is unsettling. And it's been ongoing, just like Bill said, with the next big change. But we have big changes going on in America in two ways. Technologically, artificial intelligence, all kinds of changes in the workplace, changes to working from home, you know, all of that. Plus, we do have a rather massive demographic shift in what America looks like, okay? And it's what we look like, though. It's not a difference in what we are. We've always been a country of immigrants. We've always been a country of people who come here in pursuit of opportunities. And the only difference is that, and you know, there was a time when the Irish were dealt with as if they were a different race. You know, we it's them and versus us. But, you know, we've got to overcome it, because we always have.
Well, you know, Sandy, and the best and only way to do that is to talk about it, right?
Yeah.
You got to be willing to talk about it. These conversations have to be had, and they have to be had without somebody changing the subject. Okay? I mean, you can't, on the one hand, call in and we're having to let's do this. Let's go to Curtis from West Dallas. Hey, Curtis, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call.
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. Love you guys. It almost sounds like a comedian show with that CJ. If you think about weaponizing anything, I think the Republican Party is weaponizing all the private schools and defunding all, taking all the money out of the public schools. I mean, for the last 5 or 6 years, that's all they've been doing. You know, look at that woman that orange blob had in charge of, what was her name? Betsy DeVos, is that her name?
Yeah.
That was in charge of the school.
Betsy DeVos.
And she took all the money, her madness, she owns privatized schools. So do some of the politicians. And they take all the money out of the public schools and put it in the private schools, and they privatize it. You don't have any privatized, you make money. You privatize profits. For profits. So basically you're making money from these kids, like a little industry, like a company. It's like it has to change. If CJ wants to talk anything like logical, let's talk about educating the public schools, because the public schools are the only schools that don't kick kids out when they get disruptive or their learning disabilities or handicaps or stuff.
Hey, Curtis, man, I wish I had more time, man. But we got to go to a break. And everybody else, hang on the phone lines. We'll come to you after the break. I appreciate it. We'll come to you after the break. Be right back. Phone lines are lit up.
Cool.
I know, but at the end.
At the end.
Build a statue, and oh, build it high.
last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go to KJ from Milwaukee. Hey, KJ, what's going on, man? You say what?
Well, gentlemen, despite the Republicans trying to get everybody to fear the fact that we're in a recession, and you and Sandy Williams doing your best to make everybody think there's one right around the corner, let me present some documented facts that say otherwise. Now, don't get mad at me. These are just facts that I'm giving you. The first year after Biden took office, the stock market hit a new high 60 times. Now, that's the third highest time in the history of the stock market. The average job creation is, since he took office, is over 300,000 a month. That's more than twice what is the normal monthly jobs. In January, he had over 500,000 new jobs, and it was over 300,000 again just last month. So the unemployment rate is at a 50-year low. Did you get that? That's a half a century, 50-year low. There's a few layoffs in the tech industry, but let's face it, they've been so good for so long, it's about time they retreat a little bit. So despite all this gloom and doom that you and him seem to like to preach, like, oh, people are out there struggling. Well, someone's always struggling, but the nation as a whole and the economy as a whole is quite healthy, and all the evidence says so, as opposed to zero evidence that I know of that you have presented that things are awful and terrible. Now, we do spend too much money, and piling up all that debt is not a good idea. We should be getting out of debt during these good times. But these are politicians in Washington, and not spending money is not something they're very good at. And can you take it easy a little bit on CJ? I kind of like him. He provides great entertainment for the show, and you're cutting him off a little too early. Let him get his piece out. It'll make him feel better and, less on his heart. He doesn't sound like a young guy out there.
Hey, so, Sandy, you want to respond to anything KJ has
to KJ,
say?
Well, KJ's facts are accurate, and I've continually been saying that I thought a recession always is out there on the horizon. The question is when. I think that all of the economists, right and left, are looking at the current situation and are a bit worried by both the world economy and other issues. But we do continue to have strong jobs. That ends up being sort of a mixed blessing, because that also means the Fed keeps raising interest rates.
But Sandy, those jobs in the service sector, as you talk about, which you constantly talk about the fact that, only 18% of the American people make over $100,000 a year.
Well, I do, and I think that the notion that we have a robust economy with a bunch of people doing well, how people do that are in the middle class now as compared to how the middle class lived, KJ, when you were younger and when we were younger, is very different. The level of benefits they're realizing at work is reduced materially, which causes them to have to pay for them themselves. And we've been through it before, but if you look at the budget of the middle class, of the median family in America, they can't really make it, and they live paycheck to paycheck. And the Wall Street Journal and all sorts of other sources suggest that anyone who earns less than $100,000 in this current environment is living paycheck to paycheck, or almost everyone that earns less than $100,000 is. So, we just have to look facts, all of them, straight in the eye. And so I don't disagree with the facts you indicate. I think that we need to make some adjustments in America and in the way we provide benefits in America. For instance, our health care system, our child daycare system, and some things that could have a big benefit to business in America and as well to its workers. But so I don't think we have a big disagreement. I'm not as worried about CJ's heart as you are.
All right. Let's go to Steven quickly. Steven, sorry about you guys call so late, but go ahead, sir.
Hey, so I just wanted to, pull up about grooming kids in the public school system. Why aren't we talking about the private school system? I actually worked for the private school system, and
when I started working for them, one of the trainings I had to take was what to do if one of the clergy would abuse one of the students. I don't think that people in elementary schools or public schools are having to worry about that. And if we want to talk about grooming, let's talk about grooming for a second here. What schools teach kids from a young age that Jesus, who wasn't white, is white, and show them white pictures of someone who wasn't white? That's grooming, if you ask me. So that's my input on that.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, you know, all the jobs that KJ talked about that are created, many of those jobs, as you stated, have stated repeatedly, Sandy, don't pay a livable wage. So we can have all the jobs created that are being created. They're not offering an opportunity for people to live, you know, a middle-class lifestyle. So there's all kind of jobs available that pay $8, $10 an hour, $12 an hour. So is that anything to signal, well, it's great we've got all these jobs that put people in poverty, even if they work them?
Well, no. But, you know, I just think that the biggest problem we've got is the benefit side. And only in America is the employer expected to either pay for benefits or the employee is. The kind of benefits that are provided as the social safety net that is provided in almost every other developed country and is the kind of cost structure that every business in every other country faces. So workers in other countries earning exactly the same dollars in as American workers live a much better existence than American workers. They live with less financial peril. They don't live paycheck to paycheck. They have health care taken care of. They have education taken care of. And they have daycare taken care of. And so with daycare taken care of, there are two employees available in the household. Whereas in America, it's very difficult for both breadwinners to work if they're paying for
daycare. So what do you say to people who say that the government can't afford to pay for that?
Well,
because my good friend KJ has said that to me many times.
Well, the government has a triage of things they can't afford to pay for, and they should be looking. That triage should be done according to the interests of the American people, all right? And if the American people and if American business were thinking thoughtfully about what this triage should be, we would reduce the money we spend in some other areas, like the military, and increase it in these benefits.
All right, listen, we got to run. Sandy, thank you as always. Time flies. We'll see you again on Friday. Thank you, everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. Congratulations to Bill from O'Connor, Milwaukee, who won the Brewer tickets. Got to go. See you later.